Amen.
So, will that pick me up right there?
It will. It will. So we'll put it right here.
All right, Brother Neil has got the message tonight. Of course, you guys know he's been talking about the signs of Jeremiah. Amen. And so he's going to bring the word tonight, and we trust God to work. And thank you again, Brother Neil, for helping me out in my limited ability. Now, if I had my way, I'd be up here. Amen.
I understand.
But I don't have my way, so I got to get out of the way. Okay, what's coming next?
Test.
That's right. I told you there would be a test. There's always a test. No job done till the paperwork's done. Amen. And there is a test, and you need this stuff if you're going to live right, live by God's methods, God's ways, I mean. All right, break it up a little bit, change a little bit. In Jeremiah, the first sign we looked at was the sign of the linen girdle. And who does the girdle represent?
God.
Who does the girdle represent?
The girdle of the sin, people.
Who does the girdle represent?
Us who are not repented.
Okay, believers, they did so well last week.
God's people.
God's people. Not all of God's people repent.
No, but all unrepentant.
Okay, the reason I started with that tonight is I want, why did God want Jeremiah to wear the girdle next to his skin? You've answered one. Tyrell, you got your hand up? God wants his people to be close. As close to him as absolutely possible. I know, you know, but we got to spread it around a little bit here. So that was just a couple on the sign of the girdle. We got to move along. And name one of the consequences when our lives become filthy with sin.
Separated from God.
Separated from God. Amen. That's why you had to take the girdle 500 miles away and bury it by rivers Euphrates. And then go back to Jerusalem because he had to be separated. God will not tolerate sin in our lives. You need to understand something. I do not care who you are as a believer, as a Christian. I don't care if you're a pastor of the church. I don't care if you're an evangelist, missionary. Does not matter. Me. Does not matter. You. Does not matter. God will not overlook our sin.
That's right.
Amen. You cannot sin and then think you can go out and do something special and then God will overlook your sin. That's what the Catholics try to do.
That's right.
Go to Mass on Saturday, or get drunk on Saturday, go to Mass on Sunday, and pay indulgences, all that kind of stuff. God is more concerned about his holiness than he is about our reputation.
That's right. That's
right. He will embarrass us in public if that's what it takes, because he is concerned about his holiness.
Right.
Now, we'll be separated from God. The sign of the unmarried prophet, what's the purpose of that sign?
He didn't want him to have his family in a time when he knew that they were going to come take over the, what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the right word. But
yeah, he didn't want them to go through the coming judgment. Thank you, brother. We need a little help on that one. The short answer, to show his sincerity. Why would you want to raise a family in a doomed city? By the time he was married, by the time his kids were born, the Chaldeans would be in. People are going to be getting slaughtered wholesale. And so that was to prove his sincerity. The sign of the potter. Who does the potter represent?
God.
And what does the clay represent?
Us.
God's people. All of God's people. God's
people. I didn't say nothing.
And I didn't even answer. And what does the potter putting his pressure on the clay represent?
Pressures of life.
The pressures of life. And God sometimes, unfortunately, has to do that. The sign of the basket is two baskets of figs. We had two kinds of figs. What were they? Good and?
Good figs or good people?
Good, yeah, but the baskets were good and evil. Good figs, bad figs, evil figs. They
bad
represented
and rebellious
the,
people.
The good people by the good figs. And what was represented by the evil figs?
The evil people.
That's pretty simple.
Bad
and
rebellious
people. Okay, the rebellious people. Okay, here's one for you, an easy one. Fill in the blank. Godliness is determined by the condition of our hearts and not by the
circumstances
of our lives. Amen. Pop my wife out.
You've been prompted on her. You've been prompted on her.
She's heard this before. Yes or no? Is it possible to sometimes confuse the blessings of God with the judgments of God?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. And now the sign of the broken bottle, and what did that represent? What did the sign of the broken bottle represent? We talked about this, actually in quite a bit of detail.
A hard
heart.
A what?
A hard heart. Excellent. It was the judgment of God, and it was, once the bottle was broken, it could not be repaired. But the reason, and that was what I was leading into the next part, was what's the difference between clay on the potter's wheel and clay that has gone through a kiln or been fired? What's the difference?
It's not hard.
The potter's wheel is malleable. Soft.
Squishy.
Okay. Once it's been fired, it's hard. You can't reshape it. And so sometimes, unfortunately, God has to break our hearts in order to get us where He needs us to be. Okay? So that's a sign of the...
Break your foot.
So the lesson there is very simple. Do not allow your heart to become
hardened.
Excellent. Okay, I'll give you a C-plus on that one. You guys really a little disappointed on that one. Start of that. All right, turn to Jeremiah 15, if you would, please. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15.
The brother Childs came and got intimidated.
That might be, okay. Yes, sir. Jeremiah chapter 15, let's begin with verse number 1, Jeremiah 15, 1. Then said the Lord unto me through Moses, and though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And before we ever get in the message, let me stop here. Have you ever been asked by a backslider to pray for them?
Yes.
I'll go ahead and pray for them. But you know what? It's going to have very little effect. I cannot think of any... Think of the greatness of Moses. Think of the greatness of Samuel. Another place, Daniel's mentioned. Think of these men, their prayer lives. And God said, these men could pray for you, and I'm not going to hear them. You know why? Because of the unrepentance of a person's heart.
That's right.
Okay? Now go ahead and pray for them. But rather than asking somebody that you admire as a Christian to pray for you, the first step would be for you to get along with God. Mm. Repent, confess your sins, pray for yourself, and then try to get other people to pray for you. All right? Just be clear on that. That was free. Didn't have anything to do with the message. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as for death, and this is the people of Jerusalem and Judah, to death. And such as for the sword, to the sword. And such as for the famine, to the famine. And such as for the captivity, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, do thank you for this time. We pray, Father God, that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Help us to learn something, Lord, that would help us to become more Christ-like in our lives, in our practice. And Lord, most of all, sincerely, Father, I pray that you would forgive me, cleanse me of my sins. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this message to exalt your Son. For the glory of Christ, we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, why did God punish the nation? Why did he punish Judah? Now, he said he's punished them because of who? Manasseh, he was king a long time ago. Okay, I have a verse for you. Where Brother White has a verse, Deuteronomy 24:16.
The father shall not be put to death for the children. Neither shall the children be put to death for the father. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
So then, why is God punishing the nation? There were some people that weren't alive when Manasseh did his sin. There are some people here who are under 40. It's approximately 40 years. I'm not going to go back and rebuild the genealogy for you. That's an interesting study if you'd like to do it for yourself. But Hezekiah was Manasseh's dad, and Hezekiah was a great man of God. Kind of flubbed up there at the end. But then Manasseh was a wicked king, and he was followed by Ammon. And then Ammon was followed by Josiah by Jehoahaz, and then Jehoahaz by Jehoiakim. All right? And so it's been approximately 40, 44 years, something like that, that since Manasseh was king. But as king, he did some wicked things. He took this nation and ripped it apart at its roots and abandoned the worship of Jehovah God and turned the entire nation into idolatry. That's my judgment came. That's my judgment was certain. Now, why did God punish these people? Why did he wait roughly 40 years? Well, the answer is found if we just read a couple more verses down. Look at verse 6. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backwards. Therefore I will stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And he's talking to the people that are going to go into judgment. That's what all these signs are about, warning them. Judgment's coming. Judgment's certain. Judgment's coming. Okay. Repent. Repent. They didn't want to do that. So they are being punished for their own sins. God is not unjust. When you suffer, even because of the actions of another person, God's not unjust. Now, that's hard to swallow at times. Believe me, that is hard to swallow. But God is not unjust. Manasseh started the ball rolling, but these people pushed it along. Kind of like, you ever hear a verse? Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam got the ball rolling, but we just keep shoving it along.
Amen.
Nobody dies because of the sins of their fathers. They are punished because of their own sins. Now, it is true that the dads of the house have tremendous influence. But we make our own choices.
That's right.
And other people can influence us for evil, but we make our own choices.
That's right.
And I know that it happens that if you go into the barrio, you won't find, proportionately, you won't find the same number of young men and women who are called to the mission field. Now, you will some. Okay, God's gracious. Okay, as you will who come out of the church house. Just as the father of an alcoholic will tend to be an alcoholic. Okay? But they, the adults, got the ball rolling, and as the kids are growing up, they just pushed it along. So God's not unjust. These people were going into captivity, and what we need, because of their own sins, but we better realize God may have given America a reprieve. But America will have to answer for the sins tolerated in this land. Abortion, murder, rampant cohabitation, adultery, homosexuality, lying politicians. Did I mention politicians in general? And I knew the Speaker of the House. He was a member of my church. He's a good man. Former Speaker. Individuals need to seek God's forgiveness and not turn away. All the signs in Jeremiah had a common theme. Judgment is coming. Amen. Judgment is certain.
Amen.
The only hope to mediate that problem is true and complete and sincere repentance. The nation wasn't going to repent, but individuals within that nation could repent.
Sure.
Why do you think there was two baskets? Baskets of evil fruit, figs, and a basket of good figs. Because some people chose to repent. Daniel, Ezekiel, others. Okay. Whereas the bulk of the nation, Zedekiah, and others chose not to repent. But repentance is what was needed, but that is exactly what most of the population did not want to
Amen.
Do.
Amen.
Now, failure to repent meant certain judgment from God. The judgment would be severe, and all would be affected by it. Even the people down there in verse 6 that we mentioned that deserved it, but also that basket of good figs is going to have to suffer because of the action of others. And here's the lesson for us. We live in a sin-cursed world among an entire race of fallen sinners, including ourselves. And many times we will be affected by the actions of others.
Amen.
Somebody just walking alongside the road. Drunk driver comes along, plows them over. Wasn't their fault, but they were affected by the drunkenness of another person. And probably by the liberal judges who had that person, let that person out of jail. I heard of one person arrested 56 times for DUI. How can that happen? Man, you spend your whole life in court 56 times. And finally got sentenced after killing, I think, one or two, maybe two people in a DUI accident. We will be affected by the actions of others. God, however, does not punish the children for the sins of the parents, as Brother White read there in Deuteronomy. Yet, Jeremiah said that they were being punished because of Manasseh. And again, it's because Manasseh got the ball rolling, but the people willingly went along. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, they suffered because of their own sins. And God waited approximately 40 years. That is a testament to the patience of God.
That's right.
You know, just because judgment doesn't fall doesn't mean it's not coming. Okay? It will. In Noah's days, how long did the Lord wait? 120 years. Pretty patient. I might wait 120 seconds, Brother Kelly, if I'm in a good mood. Okay. They suffered because of their own sins. Yes, Manasseh got the ball rolling, but the individuals didn't have to choose to partake of his sins. Reprieve is not a pardon. It can be, but it doesn't have to be a pardon. It's just a temporary reprieve. It doesn't cancel the punishment, but it can delay it. And I think that's where America is. So we better understand that God may grant a temporary reprieve, but America will have to answer for all those sins I mentioned,
right,
and many, many more.
That's right.
So, with that cheery news, what are we to do? I'd like to say this, if I may. It is possible to live godly in an immoral and godless society.
That's right. Yep.
I think Daniel answered that pretty good, didn't he?
Amen.
Now, we may do that if we purpose in our heart to live right. We may have to spend a night sleeping with the lions. We may have to walk in a fiery furnace. But if we do, the Lord will be there with us.
That's right.
Amen. We may be chained in a dungeon after our backs are whipped. We may be crucified. You realize that they are crucifying Christians in the Middle East currently, right now? I guess the nightly news forgot to pick up that story.
Of course.
But we can purpose in our heart to not defy ourselves as Daniel did, being aware that such a decision is likely to bring resistance from family and friends, that's at the best, and persecution from society or government at the worst. We have to be prepared for that. Individuals need to seek God's forgiveness and not take part in societies turning away from God. Having a walk with God will keep us right with God, but we may still have to suffer in God's judgment upon society. If there's a famine, if there's no rain, and we live in that area, we will be affected.
Mm-hmm.
God sends rain upon the just and the unjust. Well, he also withholds it. If we have to suffer persecutions, we will have the presence of God with us as we go through the flames. Just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Ezekiel, Nehemiah, Esther, Malachi, and many, many others.
Mm-hmm.
And many people in our time right now. Now remember that basket of good figs that we were talking about represent those who went into captivity. But at least they were spared the harsher attack in the captivity that was coming. They still suffered. Daniel still suffered. I think Daniel would have rather been at home than working in the king's court in Babylon. While we often bemoan the fact we suffer from other people's actions, do not forget that our actions can also cause other people to suffer. And that ought to give us pause. We are so quick to cry, we are so quick to complain when the actions of another person affects us negatively. But how much crying and complaining do we do when our actions affect somebody else negatively?
That's right. Amen.
Well, you don't. But I got two shoes on. One on the left foot, one on the right foot. Sometimes I'm affected by other people's actions. sometimes the shoe's on the other foot. Do we care as much about hurting somebody as we care about getting hurt? Pause for effect. Do we care nearly as much about hurting another person as we care about getting hurt ourselves? I don't know about you, but I need to grow up as a Christian. Now let's get back to that basket of goods, fruits for a second. One of those people represented in that basket was Ezekiel, because he was carried away into captivity. Jeremiah and Ezekiel were contemporaries for a very short time. Jeremiah died, but Ezekiel started his ministry. Jeremiah was still alive. Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem to minister there to the folks that were left behind, and we're going to go through that much more severe attack and captivity. So he was a minister there in the land. He was a prophet unto the nations, and so he prophesies about many, many nations. Ezekiel had a different message, and Ezekiel did not stay behind. He was sent into captivity. He was one of those good figs. He was sent into captivity. And there, he was a minister to God's people there. And that kind of tells me that wherever you are, whatever station of life you're in, God has a word for you.
Amen.
And so sometimes we have to bear our burdens alone, there's no doubt about it. But God has a word for you. And what we need to do is sometimes we have to seek out a good local church. And we should be helping people find this church so that they can get their needs met. But God has a provision for us. And some way, somehow, if we are willing to listen, and he's there, he'll be able to minister to us wherever we are. Now Ezekiel, his message was different for the captives. Jeremiah's message, repent or suffer a much harsher captivity. Judgment is certain. Judgment is coming. Repent, it won't be quite as bad. Surrender to the Babylonians. To most people, that would sound treasonous. Can you imagine if Brother Dawson stood up and we were attacked and he was to say, we ought to surrender to Al-Qaeda? Now get your attention, Mom. And that's basically what Jeremiah said. We need to surrender to the Babylonians. But that was not unpatriotic. That was obeying the will of God.
Amen.
You better be sure you ever stand up and say that one, brother. But that's the principle. Or how about 1941? Okay, Japanese attacked us December 7th. Let's surrender to the Japanese. What would have happened to any politician that stood up and said that? What would happen to anybody that said that? But that kind of gets you to see what's going on. Now, the thing that was different was, this was God's will for the nation to surrender to the Babylonians. And God's manner is proclaiming that. Now, to not have to suffer such a severe judgment. Now, Ezekiel, on the other hand, his message, the captivity had begun, at least the first deportation, and his message was one of death and destruction toward those living in Jerusalem, those who refused to repent. But then there would be a future restoration for those living in Babylon. Daniel, wasn't he reading the book of Jeremiah? And he came across the point where, hey, 70 years, and we can go back home. And he gets his calendar out. It's almost here. So he begins to pray. And that's what God said. Pray, and at the end of 70 years, I'm going to regather the people. And so, if you would please, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. See, I'm trying to show you what all these signs were about. And Ezekiel has a lot of signs too. But I only got 1 week after this, so I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do. But if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews. Now remember, all that happened here was at the hand of God. He's the one who gave the Babylonians the strength and the power to conquer, the strength and the power to invade and destroy and to send into captivity. And Ezekiel was preparing the people in the land. The captivity is going to be long. So build a house. Plant your gardens. submit to the will of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, we can see that God, well, let's just read it. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Have you ever been chastened by God?
Amen.
If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be with, boy, I fulfilled that verse as a kid, I tell you what. I obeyed one Bible verse. I got chastened a lot. Okay? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You see, folks, I don't go across the street to my neighbor's house and give their little bratty kid a spanking when he deserves one. One, I'd be thrown in jail. Now, back in our day, it didn't matter.
Amen.
Man, I saw a truck driver lock up his brakes one time, a semi coming through town, because some kid was out there in the middle of the street, and he laid down in front of the traffic. That truck driver hit the brakes, slowed down. He jumped out of the truck, ran down, grabbed that kid, bent him over the knee in the middle of the street, and he wailed on him. I don't mean it was not a love tap. And that boy, he was 10, 11, 12 years, he was crying when he left. Amen. Truck driver got back in the truck, nothing ever happened. That was a different day, my friend.
Amen.
I got in trouble one time with the neighbors. I got a whipping with a switch. So I was mad. I went home and told my dad. And Dad said these immortal words. Well, if he whipped you, you must have needed it. And then he bent me over the knee and gave me a spanking. I never told him again. Well, I got to take that back. I was dumb enough. I thought it would be different when the teacher did it. Not that I ever got a spanking at school, okay?
No.
But, yeah, right. I got a spanking at school one day. Okay. Of the many spankings I got at school, one day, the first day, I went home and told my dad about the spanking I got at school, and he said the same immortal words. Oh, what an idiot. You must have needed it. And he bent me over the knee, and I got it again. Okay? So I did obey that. But you know why the parents chastise you? Because they love you.
Amen.
But nobody, except for my neighbor, you know, spanks another child's son. And nobody... You don't do that sort of thing. Now, again, it was a different time period back then, and people could do that sort of thing. But we don't go and spank the neighbor's kid every time they need a spanking. Truth be told, we probably don't spank our own every time they need it. But at any rate, we, as a father, we will discipline our children because we want them to change, to behave better. We don't want them to grow up a thief. So they steal something from Circle K, we take them down to the store. They apologize and then they pay for it, okay? And they get a spanking, okay? We don't want them to be end up as a teenager and then jacking cars and then getting caught and then going into JV and then going into the penitentiary. I guarantee you, everybody in the penitentiary, I bet they started. You trace it back. Almost every one of them started by stealing something from Circle K, 7-Eleven, or their parents or someone else. So we spank in order to discipline. And verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, meaning we are not consistent and we don't always do it the right way. But he, for our what?
Profit.
For our what?
Profit.
Say it like you mean it. For our
profit.
Oh, so God spanks me because I deserve it, and he's going to help me by giving me a spanking.
That's right.
That's what it says. For our profit. That we might be partakers of his what?
Holiness.
Of his holiness. So we might become more like him. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Oh, amen to that. I can testify. No, I never rejoiced. I was never glad when I was getting a spanking. Never. Give me a little tip, my fifth grade teacher. She used to tell us, you're getting it tomorrow. And we'd go home all night, and the next day we'd get a spanking. Well, I wised up one day, man. I put about four handkerchiefs in both of my back pockets. She gave me a spanking, and I turned to walk away. And she said, Neil! Uh-oh. Came back, and she started pulling those out. She said something I won't repeat, but she didn't swear, but she said, I got it again, you know? I thought it was going to work.
Amen.
It wasn't fun. But those spankings helped me.
Amen.
And it's not fun when God, as the potter, takes put places pressure upon that clay and molds it and shapes it, and then sticks his hand down on the inside of it, you know, and rubs his tummy, so to speak, you know, just goes down there and squishing that out from inside. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. But I am a better person because I go through that. Now, I'd be a lot smarter if I would learn the first time, you know, why endure the reproofs of life over and over and over and over. But realize that God is doing it for our good. It's not fun. I hate it. If you like getting whipped, you need to get your locker fixed. There's a lot more nicer things in life.
Amen.
More enjoyable things in life.
Amen.
And it's not fun receiving the chastisement of God. But don't rebel. That's what the nation of Israel did. They rebelled against the chastening of God. And so God sent sent the Babylonians in again and again. And it kept getting worse and worse. And if we rebel at the chastening hands of God, then that means we are still continuing in the folly that was causing Him to chasten us in the first place. So not only do we have that folly that we're going to be chased for again, but we also have the folly of an unrepentant heart. And our heart will become hardened, the sign of the broken bottle.
That's right.
Don't forget that. The bottle was broken because of its hardness, and the hardness represented the hardness of God's people's hearts. And if we want to be used by God, if we want to grow in the Lord, if we want to be able to learn more Bible, we want to be able to apply more Bible, we want to be able to win souls, we want to be able to get prayers answered, if we want to, we're going to have the blessing of God upon our life. And as we shared some weeks back, I don't know when because of my memory problems, about how a husband and a wife that are at odds and there's friction going on, it says that your prayers be not hindered. You actually choke off your prayer life when you and your spouse don't get along.
Amen.
Have you ever prayed for months and months or years and years and not got a single answer? Now, don't raise your hands. Okay. How much fun is that? I mean, exactly. I mean, would that rank right up there with going to Disney World?
Disney World makes me sick.
Yeah, Disney World makes me sick. She does. She gets sick just looking at a ride. And it is, it would behoove us as Christians to make sure that we have that soft heart.
Amen.
So that when the still small voice of God speaks to us, we can hear Him. When God's man got discouraged and ran away, there was a tremendous roaring fire that raced through. But God wasn't in the fire. There was a mighty wind just, you know, knocking those pines, slapping them silly. But God wasn't there. God spoke to the man of God, though, in a still, small voice.
That's right.
Okay, now, test. Okay, I'm going to shout, give you a warning, so don't jump out of your seats. Okay? You ready for that? Oh, I didn't shout, did I? Can you hear me?
Yes.
How about in the back? You have to be listening, though, don't you? Now, if I would say, can you hear me? Did you hear me, Brother White? You know, God doesn't do that. It's a, can you hear me? And so that means we're going to have to be quiet. Why do we call it a quiet time, I wonder, with God? Because the folks, previous generations, realized you cannot rush into God. I've talked many times here recently about rushing into God's presence and then rushing out. That's not a good way to get your prayers answered. You're not going to get very many answered.
That's good.
But one thing I haven't spoken about was, well, I just briefly mentioned it, is when we come into God's presence, not only must we spend an adequate amount of time speaking with the Lord, but there also must be a quiet time. A time when we are not speaking so much as we are listening for that still small voice. Which says, can you hear me? I forgot. They probably didn't get to record that, and they're going to wonder, what in the world is that goofball doing now? But now they know.
We need to listen in prayer. I believe as much as we talk in prayer. I believe we also need to listen when we read our Bible. Now, I don't take issue with people who say, you know, when I read my Bible, God speaks to me. When I pray, I speak to God. Folks, I think it's a dialogue the whole time. Whether I'm reading my Bible or whether I'm praying. Okay? Almost everybody has a cell phone these days. Some of you have two of them. Be honest, you know you do. Okay? You have two of them. And if I was to call you and say, brother, and then stop. You talk for a while. Have you ever done that? And then just pause it. Are you still there? Anybody? Are you still there? And they'll say, oh yeah, I'm here. Okay. Well, you got quiet. I didn't know you were there. You know why I didn't know you were there? Because you were not dialoguing with me. We were not talking one to another. When one person now, if God wants to talk, shut up and listen. Okay? Well, eventually, he'll give you an opportunity to speak. And so, listen to that still, small voice. And in prayer, when we come to God, don't be in such a hurry. Just pray about something that needs prayed over, whatever it is in your life, and spend all the adequate time there. And, you know, God knows your needs. Now, he wants us to bring them to him. But rather than being concerned about getting through a list, I used to try to do that. I'm sorry, I'm just not good at that. I'm not talking about our prayer list that we have here at church, but I try to keep a long prayer list like some people do. And you know what I end up doing? Lord, please bless number one, bless number two. You know, I just all the way through there because it's so long. We'd be better off if we would just take one or two items and get quiet and listen for that still small voice and pray adequately over those things. Don't rush into God's presence and rush back out. But also, when you are in God's presence, give God a chance to talk. You ever had somebody who, every time they call you, somebody says, hey, so-and-so's on the phone. Now, you don't know what they're going to ask you, but you know they're going to ask you for something. Because they only call you when they want something. You have anybody like that in your life? Yeah. Okay. I wonder what God thinks next time he hears your voice in prayer. Or my voice.
It's good.
Oh, they want something. Now, it's okay to bring our needs to God, but I kind of think God already knows what they are. And I'm telling you to pray over everything you need to pray over. I'm not telling you not to pray over something in your life, but maybe you're going to have to take a little longer when you pray, and maybe you're going to have to, rather than giving instructions to God, maybe we need to just be willing to listen to what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Adequate time in prayer. These people didn't have to go through this, but they refused to listen to God's man, and they turned away from the Lord. That's why they went into captivity. That's why judgment fell. They continued to serve idols. They rejected the preaching of the man of God, and they rejected God. And so they suffered for their own sins, and all they had to do to avoid that was have some true, sincere repentance. And folks, there are sometimes I just don't like praying for other people. I'll be honest. There are times when I pray for people, people who have hurt me, people who have wronged me. You know what I pray, brother? I pray, God, do whatever it takes to get them right with you. I mean, kill them if you have to. I mean, I've said that to God before. Aren't you glad I don't pray for you, Brother White? I do, by the way, brother. He's a good man. I love Brother White. And here's the thing. I do pray that. I have prayed that. And so I say, God, please forgive me. Lord, I know I'm supposed to pray for you to bless them. So would you bless them just before you kill them? And I'm right back to killing them again. And I'll pray, God, will you bless them? And I'll say, God, you know I did not mean that. Forgive me for lying. I don't want you to bless them. But I do want them to get right with you. And I'll do that over maybe many times. Maybe over a couple of weeks, even a month. Depending on the hurt. Depending on the spirit. And eventually one day I'll be praying, God, would you bless so-and-so? And it'll dawn on me. I mean it. God, I want you to bless them. Would you bless them? Now, God didn't change them, and God didn't change the circumstance. But who did God change?
You.
Me. But that would not happen. And don't think I'm a great prayer warrior, because I'm not. I don't do that all the time. Sometimes I'm still hung up on the do whatever it takes. Would you kill them? You know, and I stay there. But here's the thing. We're going to have to spend
adequate time in prayer, and we're going to have a willingness to listen
for that still small voice.
Because just maybe God wants to change something in your life more than he wants to give you something. Maybe God, rather than giving you a new PlayStation, what are they up to? 3, 4, 27? I don't know. PlayStation 3, you know? 4, 14, I don't know. Maybe rather than God wanting to give you a new toy, what God wants you to do is be molded more into the image of his dear son. And that isn't going to happen if you're not listening to the voice of God. It takes time. You can't rush it. You can't have an icon on your stream. I'm like Jesus now. I got a Jesus app.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to spend some time and listen to that still small voice of God. The question is, am I willing? Or am I going to go about my merry way, saying as always? You know, if you listen to the voice of God, you know what's going to happen next time you come to church on Sunday. The preacher's going to say something, and you're going to be in the right frame of mind, and the Holy Spirit's going to say, yeah, I'm talking to you, brother.
That's right.
Or yes, sister, that was meant for you. Listen, folks, I love you. I hope God will bless each and every one of you. And folks, I believe the Lord wants to use us as a corporate body to reach this area.
Amen.
But that's going to take the power of God. And we will not have the power of God if we won't listen to his spirit. We will not have a giving heart. We will not have a loving heart. We will not be compassionate like we ought to be. We will be petty. And become petty or remain petty. And little things that mean nothing in the scheme of things will drive you insane because of your pettiness. It doesn't have to be. Will you listen to that still, small voice? I believe God speaks to every Christian. You don't have to wait for Sunday. If you're in the right frame of mind, on Sunday he will, during the messages. So if you read your Bible, speak to God. And if you pray, allow God to speak to you. And don't be in such a hurry when you do your devotions. Sometimes I know life's busy, and so I do a little bit in the morning and then do a little bit more at night, whatever it takes. It's been adequate time in prayer. And also adequate time listening to the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, preacher. I hope that made sense. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, praise God. God's been good over the past several weeks hearing about the signs that Jeremiah had to give the children of Israel. And I know God spoke to my heart over the past several weeks. Praise God. And I hope he spoke to yours as well. And just seeing all the things that God wants to do in us. It's truly amazing and a blessing. Thank you, Brother Dale. Appreciate that. Amen. You will still have several more Wednesdays. Amen. Plus when I go on in June. Amen. What a blessing it is to have God's word to speak to God's people. Amen. I trust that God spoke to you over these past weeks. Brianna's going to be leaving in a couple of weeks. We'll have her fellowship on the 29th, farewell fellowship, as she'll be going up to join hubby up in Minnesota. You guys moving to Minnesota?
Wisconsin.
Amen.
Amen.
Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So pray for her. Don't forget, readers will be meeting Sunday night, singers Sunday morning after the service. So if you're involved in the ladies' program Sunday morning, hallow out that time. Sunday night, hallow out that time. So winning Saturday morning, 9:30, we'll be here. Go out door knocking. So looking forward to some great things happening there. So you let God speak to your heart. Amen. We're going to get dismissed in word of prayer. Do not let the things that have been spoken over the past several Wednesdays fall on deaf ears. He's given many, many signs from Jerusalem. Jeremiah. And, I mean, everyone has been a blessing and encouragement to God's people. What does the Bible say? What sort of things are written aforetime? Written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have what? Hope. Amen. We're no different than Israel in a lot of respects. We're just like them. Amen. So I'm going to ask Brother Watson, Jimmy Watson, if you can close us in a word of prayer. Amen. The men will be putting up the chairs. If you can help put the chairs away, that would be great. And the patch practice will be over here in just a few minutes in the auditorium. So the kids will be dismissed shortly there. So again, Brother Neil, thank you for the message. Amen. Don't forget the activities for the weekend. And looking forward to a blessing. Brother Watson, you can close in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, it's been good to be in your house again. Lord, you fill our spirit.